Melchizedek. If I were to ask you, who or what or no who is one of the most important people of the Old Testament, how many of you would have said Melchizedek? That's what most people would probably say. But isn't it interesting that the Holy Spirit of God chose Melchizedek as an example of the priesthood and kingship of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Melchizedek, his story comes in Genesis chapter 14, verses 17 through 24. And then he's mentioned one more time briefly in Psalms 110, verse 4. That's it. He is never again mentioned in the Old Testament. And yet, God said Melchizedek was important. Sometimes it's amazing what God thinks is important and what we ourselves would think of as important. I mean, we think of Abraham, the father of the faith. But God chose Melchizedek as the example, as the forebear of a new priesthood that would be far superior to the priesthood of Aaron and of the tribe of Levi. As we've been studying the book of Hebrew, we've noticed that there's a problem. Many of the Jewish Christians are being tempted to leave Christianity and go back to Judaism. Now, while that is not something that tempts us, maybe we too are tempted to leave Christianity for something better. But this is what the Hebrew writer is trying to point out. I forgot who mentioned this yesterday. That word ain't. Who was talking about ain't yesterday? I know somebody was. No one's going to admit it, huh? But there ain't no one better or higher than Jesus Christ. Do I hear amen? That's the point. That's important for us this evening. No matter what might tempt us to leave Jesus Christ, where else can we go? The writer of Hebrews in chapter 7, so have your Bibles, you can open up to chapter 7. We'll be going through portions of this. States that the priesthood of Jesus Christ is far superior to that of Aaron because he is a priest forever and a king forever after the order of Melchizedek. It's interesting. Let's read that. Genesis 14, 17 through 24. I thought I marked it. Oh, I did mark it. Genesis 14. Then we read the verses 17 through 24. After defeating Chedorlaomer, I probably pronounced wrong, and the kings who were with him, Abram went home. Remember, his nephew and his nephew's family had been captured and carried off by a group of kings. And Abraham alone, with the help of a few others, went after his nephew and all those who had been captured. And as he was returning, the king of Sodom came out to meet him in the valley of Shaveh, now called King's Valley. Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was a priest for God Most High and blessed Abraham, saying, Abram, may you be blessed by God Most High, the God who made heaven and earth. And we praise God Most High, who has helped you to defeat your enemies. Then Abram gave Melchizedek a tenth of everything he had brought back from the battle. I'll stop there because there's no more mention of Melchizedek here. That's it. That's all we know about this king of Salem and this priest of God Most High. And yet, the Hebrew writer chooses Melchizedek as the reason why the priesthood of Jesus Christ is greater than the priesthood of Aaron. Why return to something that is inferior is what the Hebrew writer is trying to get across. First, he brings up three arguments. That first argument that he brings up, because he is affirming that not only is the priesthood of Jesus better, he is affirming that the priesthood of Aaron has ended. No more. Gone. Not kaput. But what? Fulfilled in Jesus Christ. It's a good word, kaput, but it doesn't apply here. It was fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Because the Old Testament is fulfilled in our Lord and Savior. But he gives three arguments. The first argument he brings up is the historical argument of Melchizedek and Abraham. First, he says, and he wants us to understand these points, he was both king and priest. Let's read verse 1 of Hebrews 7. Melchizedek was the king of Salem and a priest for God Most High. He met Abraham when Abraham was coming back after defeating the kings. When they met Melchizedek, blessed Abraham. In the Old Testament, particularly under the law, that's what I'm talking about, it would have never have been possible for a king of Israel to also be priest. Why? Different tribes. Who was the priestly tribe? Who was the kingly tribe? And what happened to those kings that did try to take over some priestly activities? God punished them. Because God said, no, I gave this duty and service to Levi. So, Jesus, under the law, could not be high priest. So, the law was somehow flawed here. But the important thing to notice, Melchizedek was both king and priest, as is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He is king and priest. And we should note, there's no explanation in the Old Testament, but Melchizedek was priest of who? Of God Most High, the Creator of heaven and earth, the God who helped Abraham to defeat his enemies. I've read a lot of things, and some say that is not the God of the Old Testament. I tend to differ. Because the Hebrew writer quotes this section. But he was both king and priest. Something unattainable under the law, and Jesus Christ is king and priest of his people. Secondly, his name is significant. Melchizedek means king of righteousness. And what city did he live in and was king of? Would become Jerusalem, the city of peace. So, this Melchizedek was not only king of righteousness, he was the king of peace. What is Jesus? He's the king of righteousness and the king of peace. Or the peace, not priest. The Bible called him the prince of peace. So Melchizedek was king of peace as well as righteousness. And righteousness and peace are often found together in Scripture. Isaiah 32:17 says, "And the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever." Of course, God's purpose for His people is that they bear fruits of peace. In Hebrews 12, just a few pages over, in Hebrews 12, 10 and 11 we read, "Our fathers on earth disciplined us for a short time in the way they thought was best. But God disciplines us to help us, so we can become holy as He is. We do not enjoy being disciplined. It is painful and at the time, but later, after we have learned from it, we have peace because we start living in the right way, or in the way of righteousness." Righteousness and peace belong together. If you want true peace, live righteously. Live right according to the laws of God. Since man cannot be justified or declared righteous by keeping the Old Testament law, we needed a new way to become righteous. And that was done by faith, or through faith, in Jesus Christ. So true peace can only be found under the true King of righteousness, the true King of peace, Jesus Christ. But he goes on and says, he received tithes from Abraham. Verse 2 of chapter 7. "And Abraham gave him a tenth of everything he had brought back from the battle." First, Melchizedek's name means king of goodness. And he is king of Salem, which means king of peace. And so, Abraham gave him tithes. That word tithe in Hebrew means a tenth. And Israel was required to give a tenth of all they had to the Lord each year. Tithing, though, was not first seen with Old Testament law, because Abraham was before the law. And Abraham tithed, he gave a tenth of what he had taken in battle to Melchizedek. Now, there's something we need to know. It's important. You only tithe someone who is higher than you. And someone who is higher than you blesses you. Important that we know this fact. So Abraham tithed, admitting Melchizedek was higher. But also his family history was different. Melchizedek's. In that account we read, did we hear that Melchizedek was born? Did we hear that he had a mother or a father? Did we hear that he died? The writer uses this thought. Because there is no record given of his parents or his death, he is a king and a priest forever. And Jesus is king and priest in this order. A king and a priest forever. The priesthood was eternal. Melchizedek was a shadow or a picture of the priesthood of Jesus Christ, according to the author of Hebrews. And as I mentioned, I got ahead of myself. He had the authority to receive a tenth from Abraham, and he had the authority of God to bless Abraham. According to Hebrews 7:7, it is the greater that blesses the lesser. Now everyone knows that the more important person blesses the less important person. And Abraham was fully admitting Melchizedek, his kingship and his priesthood was greater than even he, Abraham, was. And by blessing, and by accepting the blessing and giving a tenth, Abraham was not only admitting that he was lesser, but that his children were lesser. And who was one of the eventual children of Abraham? Levi. So, Levi's priesthood is lesser than that of Melchizedek. Let me ask a question, trick question. Let's see who can get it. Does this mean that Jesus was also in the loin of Abraham when Abraham received a blessing and gave a tithe? No, right. Charlie got it. No, because what did Jesus say? Before Abraham was, I am. So Jesus is not under this thinking of being lesser than Melchizedek. The second argument that our writer used was basically the argument of Christ's priesthood versus Aaron's priesthood. Not only is Melchizedek greater than Aaron, but Melchizedek has replaced Aaron. The priesthood that we now are under is the priesthood of Melchizedek through Jesus Christ our Lord. Why would God make such a radical change? Why would He do away and end the Levitical priesthood? That's the question that the author now looks at. First off, he says, God has done this because the priesthood and the law were imperfect. 11 through 14. The people were given the law concerning the system of priests from the tribe of Levi, but they could not be made perfect through that system. So there was a need for another priest to come, a priest like Melchizedek, not Aaron. And when a different kind of priest comes, the law must be changed too. We are saying these things about Christ, who belonged to a different tribe. No one from the tribe ever served as a priest at the altar. It is clear that our Lord came from the tribe of Judah, and Moses said nothing about priests belonging to that tribe. So the priesthood and the law were imperfect in that they could not make the priest perfect, nor could they make the people perfect. The Old Testament priests could not, by their ministry, complete the work of God in the hearts of the believers, of the worshipers of God. The law of Moses could not make anything perfect. 7 and 19. I thought I underlined it. Here we go. The law of Moses could not make anything perfect, but now a better hope has been given to us. And with this hope, we can come near to God. The animal sacrifice could not give any worshiper a perfect standing with God. How often did sacrifices have to be made? I would dare say maybe daily. Daily. That work never ended. Because when you sinned, you were supposed to bring a sacrifice. The once a year sacrifice was made by the high priest in the Holy of Holies. First for himself and then for his people. But sacrifices were brought daily. There are so many reasons. But daily, the animals had to be sacrificed because the sacrifice could not make us right with God perfectly. It could not bring us to Him perfectly. But why was it given? The Mosaic system of divine law was never meant to be a permanent system. Many so-called Christians make that mistake and call for the return of the Jews to Israel, call for the rebuilding of the temple. Why? That system has ended. God has fulfilled it in Jesus Christ. There is no need for that system because it was imperfect. It was given to us, though, as a schoolmaster to prepare us for the coming of Christ. The entire system of Old Testament law had been fulfilled. It is no longer needed. And so Christ, with his death, took it out of the way and nailed it to the cross. We are now free to do the will of God. We are now obedient, not because the law compels us to obey, but we obey out of love to God for saving us. And the indwelling of the Holy Spirit enables us to fulfill the righteousness of the law as we yield to Him. Turn to Romans 8, 1 through 4. So now, those who are in Christ Jesus are not judged guilty. Through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit that brings life made you free from the law that brings sin and death. That's Moses' law. The law was without power because the law was made weak by our sinful selves. See, it wasn't the law that was wrong. It was us, because we could not not sin. But God did what the law cannot do. He sent His own Son to earth with the same human life that others use for sin. By sending His Son to be an offering for sin, God used a human life to destroy sin. He did this so that we could be the kind of people the law correctly wants us to be. Now we do not live following our sinful selves, but we live following the Spirit. The next argument he gives, why Christ is better than Aaron, he says, because the priesthood and the law, being imperfect, could not continue forever. 15 through 19, let's read that. And this becomes even more clear when we see that another priest comes who is like Melchizedek. He was not made a priest by human rules and laws, but through the power of his life, which continues forever. It is said about him, "You are a priest forever," a priest like Melchizedek. The old rule is now set aside because it was weak and useless. The law of Moses could not make anything perfect. But now a better hope has been given to us. And with this hope, we can come near to God. Jesus accomplished what the law could not accomplish. He brought a better hope. And He enables us to draw near to God. Remember what happened at His death? That veil in the temple ripped from top to bottom, totally through, falling open. God, through Jesus, has been opened up to all who come to Jesus in faith. Before, we had to go to God through the high priest, and he only could go back once a year. We can enter before God daily in prayer and with our lives, because Jesus has opened the way. Going back to Judaism would mean leaving this near relationship that God had given them. The only hope of Judaism was the coming of Christ. And if they reject the Messiah, what hope is there in Judaism? But also, Christ is a better priest because God appointed Jesus with an oath. 20 through 22. It is important that God did this with an oath. Others became priests without an oath. But Christ became a priest with God's oath. God said, "The Lord has made a promise and will not change His mind. You are a priest forever." No other priest had ever received an oath from God, a personal oath from God. But Jesus did. The priest under the order of Aaron ministered under cardinal law. They had to be perfect. You didn't have a priest who had some imperfection on the body. He was not allowed to be priest. He had to be perfect. He had to be from the right tribe, and he had to go through the correct ceremonial requirements. But Jesus' heavenly priesthood was established because of the work he did upon the cross. The oath of God gives to the priesthood of Jesus a permanence because he is priest forever. And there is assurance of hope for us. In our imperfections, our high priest is perfect and can always stand before God. But also, he said, another reason that Christ's priesthood is better is because men die. The priest died. The high priest died. And his work stopped. But Christ will no longer die. He died once for our sins and has been declared, because of this, a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. He sits in heaven. He rules as king and he ministers as high priest. Not once a year, but every day and every minute at the right hand of God. What's the conclusion of the matter? Verse 25. Let's read it. So he is always, I read wrong, so he is able always to save those who come to God through him, because he always lives, asking God to help us. We don't have to worry that he's gone to the bathroom. We don't have to worry that he went out to eat. We don't have to worry that the telephone company has turned off his telephone line. We don't have to worry that he dies, or will die, or is sick. He is a priest forever, and he continues to minister forever. There's no time when we cannot go to Jesus and be heard by God eternal. So his salvation is eternal. And the last argument he brings is that Christ is there for the believer. No matter how devoted and obedient Aaron was, or the other priests were, they could not always meet the needs of God's people. If I had a death in my family and I was hurting, how could I be there for someone else who was hurting? The priests were always, through their human frailty, hindered from doing the priesthood job at all times. But also because of their sins, they were not always able to serve the people. In order to bring a forgiveness sacrifice, the high priest had to bring a sacrifice for himself that he could enter the Holy of Holies. But this frailty is not had by Jesus. Jesus was sinless. Sometimes, and we can read about it, the high priest ignored the needs of the people. At the moment the name is gone, but a high priest had two bad sons who were taking advantage of the people. Eli, thank you, was gone. But Eli let his sons do what they wanted to and ignored the cries of the people. Jesus won't do that. He is without sin, and he is there when we need him. The priests were not always holy in character, but Jesus is always eternally holy. They were sinners like the people they ministered to. Jesus was not. The priest had to constantly offer up sacrifices for sins, for themselves and for others, day by day, year after year. And only once a year could the high priest enter the Holy of Holies and come before the mercy seat of God. And that only on the Day of Atonement. But Jesus offered his life once as an atonement for all times, a far superior sacrifice. He settled the matter of sin once and for all with His perfect sacrifice. This is the kind of high priest we need. The application is obvious. Why turn away from such an adequate high priest? What more can you find in any other person? The men who served under the law of Moses had human infirmities and weaknesses, and they often failed. Our heavenly high priest has been consecrated forever. Verse 28. The law chooses high priests who are people with weakness, but the word of God's oath came later than the law. It made God's Son to be the high priest, and that Son has been made perfect forever. Perfect in the New Testament means complete. Nothing more needs to be done. Jesus is complete. If we turn away from Jesus, where else can we go? You might remember this story, Genesis 6, 67 through 68. We read, because of the hard sayings of Jesus, many disciples had turned and left Him. And the Bible says, Jesus turned to the 12. Verse 67. When many disciples left Jesus because of His hard sayings, He turned to the 12 and asked, "Do you want to leave too?" Peter answered Him, "Lord, where would we go? You have the words that give eternal life." If we deny Jesus, where else will we find salvation and peace? Are you a part of Jesus this evening? Are you hurting and need a high priest that will help? There's no other name in heaven or on earth or under earth whereby we can be saved but that of Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, today is the day of salvation. Today the Lord has called us. One of my favorite scriptures is Matthew 11, 29 and 30. Jesus said, "Accept my teachings and learn from me, because I am gentle and humble in spirit, and you will find rest for your lives. The teaching that I ask you to accept is easy. The load I give you to carry is light." Where would you go if you leave the Lord? Jesus is the perfect, complete high priest and Savior and King. Remember, He loves you at all times. He knows when you're hurting. And He is there, always ministering to you and bringing your name daily before the Lord. Are you hurting? Do you need salvation? Do you need prayers? Then come. The Lord has called you this evening.